You're listening to the SEO for Photographers podcast by Fuel Your Photos. In each episode, Dylan and Corey discuss topics that will help you get more clicks from Google. Ready to rank? Let's dive in.
Hello and welcome to the SEO for Photographers podcast by Fuel Your Photos. Today you've got your host Corey and Dylan, and we're going to be talking about one of my favorite SEO tools, and bonus, it's free, built right into Google. So we're going to be talking about a site search operator, and this one might be a little challenging in a few spots to talk about through podcasts without examples, but we'll try to make it as simple as possible. And if you're not familiar with this tool yet, I think you're going to really be amazed by what you can do. And if you are familiar, hopefully there's a couple of extra things we'll throw in here today that will give you some new insights.
All right. Yeah. And I think I'll try to throw a few screenshots in the podcast post and maybe in the group. So those might be helpful, but we'll try to keep it so you can follow along without those visuals.
So Dylan, why don't you go ahead and give us a quick intro to the site search operator?
Totally. All right. So you go to your regular Google.com search engine and you type in S-I-T-E and a colon and then your URL. And that shows pretty much every page that Google has indexed for your site. It's not 100% accurate, but it's close.
Yep. There's actually quite a few search operators out there that you can use when you go to Google. You can, like, the most common ones that people know about are like quotes around a term, make sure that it's an exact match, or there's a lot of different things you can do, like in title and in URL and these other things that will give you very specific ways of searching. You're asking Google for something really particular. And in this case, we're asking for pages to only come back from a specific URL. And so when we do site colon and then a URL, we're saying we only want results from that URL. And the interesting thing is you can do this for the root domain and you'll get back all the results from that URL that are indexed in Google. Now, like Dylan said, it's pretty much all because it's not 100% accurate. The index may be, or the cache even may be different in different spots at different times, and they may not have every page shown in that index that they do theoretically have indexed. There could be some suppression. There's like all kinds of weird things. And a better tool would be Search Console. Dylan, you want to quickly tell us about what to do in Search Console?
Yeah, so you would go to the coverage report, and they've really added a lot of functionality to that in the past few months. And they can show you there every page that's indexed, every page that they've seen but they haven't indexed, and why. And like, there's a ton of information, but I feel like visually the search site search is just like a quicker, easier way for most people.
Yeah, it's so easy. I think it's one that is good as you're more experienced to use together with Search Console, because this is like an at a glance. It's like going to Google and typing in your main keyword and seeing if you show up, like you doing an incognito search. It's just really quick, really easy. It just shows you like, what does it typically look like for people? I think it's kind of the same thing here. Just quick and easy. Can I find out, is this page indexed? And plus some other things we're going to talk about soon. But
totally.
I think it's just, that's why it's one of my favorite tools, is because I don't have to log into Search Console. I don't have to have access to Search Console, which is a bonus. Mm-hmm. And it's just a great way to diagnose. Now, let me give one quick little disclaimer or pre-qualifier, whatever. It's important that after you type in S-I-T-E colon, you don't put a space before the URL. A lot of people have problems with that. I will find that we'll be talking about this and they'll try it and they'll be like, this isn't working. It says no results or whatever. Make sure there's no space between site colon and your URL. All right. So let's go through and talk about like what we do with this tool in general. You kind of already talked about like find out what pages are indexed. Anything else you want to say about that?
I guess one interesting thing I always look for first is the total number. So it'll say like 800 pages and it'll show 8 pages or 80 pages of results or something. It is interesting as just a quick it's somewhat actionable, and you can get an idea of how many pages the people have and if that makes sense for their site and how many pages they should have published. And you can quickly see if there's issues to be that you need to probe deeper into. So that's a really great first metric to look at.
Right, and it's a good way to just even find out if a specific page is indexed. So that's something, like I said earlier, you can use this on the root domain, but you can also use it on a specific URL. So if you type in your root domain, it's a good way to see, like, is this approximately the number of pages I expected from my domain? And then if you have, let's say, a piece of content that you published recently, and you're like, I wonder if Google knows about this yet, you could just use it on one URL and find out, does Google have it in the index? If it shows up there, Google definitely knows about it. If it doesn't show up there, it's not that they don't know about it, but that's when you would potentially go into the Search Console report and see, have they crawled this, and why or why not, if there's any problems.
Yep. And yeah, on recent sites, I've seen a lot of that. So I've done the site search and seen only like 26 pages indexed, and when we were expecting 60 or something right. like that. Or you see the opposite, where you go to a typical photography site, but it shows 7,000 pages indexed.
Yep.
Which goes on to the next point.
Yeah. So what's the next thing?
So I think we use the site search to look for indexed pages that are low quality. And those might be tag or category archives, date archives, author archives, or image attachment pages, especially after that Yoast bug of, was that?
We're still seeing remnants from that.
15 or something, I can't remember.
It's crazy.
Theme template pages. So when you buy a brand new template for your site, sometimes the designer has built out example pages, and a lot of people accidentally leave those live and indexed.
Yep.
Or duplicate pages. Sometimes you make a copy of your contact page and make a quick change, and it's contact-2. Things like that.
I feel like this is a good place to insert an ad for the course, because nice. We actually have a whole lesson about low-quality pages and cleaning up your indexed pages, like making sure that everything that you're presenting to Google is exactly what you want presented. And we go through all of those things that Dylan just mentioned, plus more, and have screenshots of examples of those and how to fix them on different platforms and all kinds of stuff. So if you're looking to clean up, if you do this site search and you find that you've got hundreds or thousands of pages that you didn't intend to, or that you're not sure how to fix the problems that you're seeing, the course will definitely walk you through that part. So end of ad. Let's keep talking about this a little bit more, because
totally.
I do feel like finding low quality pages is pretty much the number one reason that I'm using this. Like the site search tool, when I do a website review or like a mini audit or even a full audit, if I'm looking at a website, the first thing I generally do is do a site search and find out, does this look right? Does it look like everything that's being presented here is high quality? Does it look like everything that's being presented here has been touched by the webmaster? Are there like a lot of defaults here that are not that good? Is the business name being appended to the end of every URL or every title? And if so, does it have a keyword in it? There's all these problems that are just so obvious at a glance when you see all of the results listed with a title, a meta description, URL. And sometimes it's hard to get that from like looking at your website. You might not click to those pages, but Google sees them. They've crawled them through the links and or your sitemap or whatever, and you'll easily see them there. So finding those pages that are indexed that you didn't necessarily want indexed, or that are indexed and aren't up to your quality standards for what you would like Google to be displaying, that's what you're finding in this step or totally. This item.
Or those like top secret pricing PDFs that you didn't want to be published to the world.
Man, I saw one time. This photographer was ranking for like photography contracts. Like if you just searched that in Google, they were like on the first page. But the thing that was ranking was a PDF. It wasn't even a landing page for this contract or whatever. It was just the PDF that was like a default photography contract. And I guess it was because they had like authority and they talked about it in like an event or something. People were looking for it. But they had intended for people to only be able to find it through an opt-in. Like they wanted people to give their email address to get this contract or something like that. Or maybe it was they didn't want it on there at all. But the idea was people were finding this, and not only people, but thousands of people every month were searching photography contracts and then coming to this PDF. And that was really interesting to find doing that site search.
Yeah. I mean, I found people's entire WP content folder indexed, like all of that shouldn't be indexed. Yeah, there's some fun stuff.
Yeah. What else?
Competing content. If you add a query before or after, right? It doesn't matter.
I don't know. I always do it after. I've never tried it before.
Okay. Yeah. It's interesting. I always do it before.
I guess it works both ways then.
Totally. If you add any sort of topic that you want to look into on your site and then have the site colon operator, you'll see any page that Google thinks is relevant to that topic or term. And sometimes you can easily spot the cannibalization issues or just things you can clean up or do better.
Do we have an episode about cannibalization? I can't remember.
Not off the top of my head.
Well, maybe we need to have one, but why don't we give a quick summary? Why don't you just give us a 1-minute version of what keyword cannibalization is?
So typically you want Google to easily understand what the best page is for a single topic on your site and know to rank that topic. And the way that photographers tend to cause problems is they might shoot at one venue multiple times and they want to blog all of those. And then Google doesn't know which one of those blog posts for that single venue should be indexed and rank best. And kind of the way to fix that is to make it more clear. So that means optimizing one for that topic and maybe de-optimizing the other, or building a cornerstone page for that and then linking to both, things like that.
Yeah. And it's a kind of a tricky topic because we see this all the time. Dylan and I, like, we look at thousands of sites every year and we see competing pages causing problems when we look in Search Console and dig in all the time. But also, you'll find that people are getting away with it in some cases, or you might find that someone in your area is ranking very well and they've used that keyword on every page of their site. And you're like, well, they did that, so I should do that. The problem is Google tries to figure this out, to be fair. Like, they want to just figure out what is the most relevant page on your site for a topic, and they want to show that. And they want to show only one because they don't want one domain to be able to rank 40 pages and the top 4 pages of Google results all go to one website, right? They want it to be varied and fair and all that kind of stuff. So they want to show one result per URL, per domain, usually. And they try to find the best one. And the problem is there's so many factors that they can sometimes just make a mistake, right? They'll just pick one that they think is the best, but it's not the one you think is the best. And so, like Dylan said, the whole point of avoiding keyword cannibalization is adding clarity so that you have control over which page Google shows and Google's not just randomly deciding. Because sometimes it may work out for you. They may pick the right ones and great, you're good to go. They just won't even mess with the others. They may suppress it. They may just leave it alone. But we have seen over and over and over again, if you have two pages that are optimized for the same topic, sometimes Google will flip-flop between them. Sometimes Google will completely suppress one and de-index it and only show the other. Sometimes Google will randomly out of nowhere start ranking the wrong one or a different one. So there's all these things that can happen. And the easy way to find this is, or one easy way to find this without even going into Search Console, just go into your domain, going to Google, typing in site colon your domain and then space and then a keyword. So let's say Dylan wants to see if he has any pages on his site that are competing for Portland wedding venues. Well, he would type site colon dylanmhowell.com/Portland wedding venues. And one of the cool things is Google shows this set of results. When you add a query, as far as I can tell and what I've heard from the people at Google, they put this in order sort of like the way that they would rank them, right? So it's just like any other ranked search. They're going to put the most relevant page at the top for that query. And so immediately, if you see anything other than the page that you expected to be the first result for that kind of search, then you know something might be wrong here. But then you'll also see any page on your site. So in this case, we would see any page on Dylan's site where it was relevant for Portland wedding venues. And if any of those are not the main page, then you need to make sure they're either de-optimized or that they're linking to the main page you want to rank for that. Or, you know, it just kind of depends on the situation. But that's what we're talking about here. Totally. Sorry, I feel like I rambled there a little bit.
Oh, no, it's good. And it segues well into our next issue that you can kind of find, which are title and meta description issues. So often when you're looking at that competing content, you'll see that you have too many posts that have the main keyword or topic that you're targeting in the title. So, I mean, that's like one of the easiest cannibalization issues to spot. Why do I have Portland wedding venues in 3-page titles? Like, maybe I should rethink that. But yeah, page titles in general, like you'll find, I think the most often, or the problem that we see most often is people that fill out their SEO plugin settings and it grabs like their site title, and their site title includes their main topic they're targeting with their homepage, and it appends it to every single page or post or category archive or tag archive, etc. And so they have like 300 pages on their site that say Portland wedding photographer. Mm-hmm. Not great. So,
and also just length and things like
is how they're formatted.
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, are you having all of your titles truncated, or, you know, is Google pulling really random text for a meta description? We see this all the time where you haven't set a meta description, so Google's pulling like some image file names or like the menu or something else like that. They generally try to grab the first text on the page, but yeah, sometimes that's not what you want it to be. So you can easily spot, are there weird things going on here with the meta descriptions?
Yep. And you can do this by opening your developer tools and emulating a mobile device and see the mobile version as well, which is pretty cool. All right. I like this next one. Do you want to talk about using this tool on your competitors?
Yeah. So the great thing about this, again, is you don't have to have Search Console access to use this. And so I can look at any person, any site on the web. If I want to use this site search, I just have to type in site colon and put in that domain. So there are so many ways you can use this for competitive analysis or research. It's good to just do it like on, you know, a few dozen sites just to like start to see examples of people doing things really well and people doing things poorly that you can be like, oh, I see what they were talking about. That doesn't look good. The more you do this, the more you're going to see like the right way for sites to be formatted and presented to Google. I like to find specific topics by doing what we were just talking about and using the site colon and then adding a topic. And I don't only use this on direct competitors. Like I would totally go to Dylan's site and type in dylanmhowell.com or site colon, his domain, and then space venue. And just see, because it's vague like that, like now I'm going to see anything that's related to any venue. And so I could see, is he optimizing for all these different venues? Or maybe there's like, I don't know, some specific term that I'm like, I need to build out some things about Portland wedding venues. I'm like, go to all these competitors and just use a site search and see which ones have they covered? Which ones are they missing? What can I find from all that information? I think there's just a lot of fun there. But also, not just on direct competitors, but use this on something like Quora, for example. So I can go to Quora or site colon quora.com, I think is what it is. Yeah. And then space. And then I could put in wedding photography, for example. And you're going to get back all of these questions about wedding photography. It's just a great way to like come up with topic ideas, because Quora is just one example. You could use it on any forum that's publicly indexed. Any of those kinds of question sites, all that stuff.
Reddit even.
Like, yes. Yeah, Reddit's a good one.
Yep.
YouTube is a good one.
Yeah.
I think. I'm pretty sure you can use it on YouTube.
You can. And I always think it's really interesting to see the difference between
going
Google's
searching
index of YouTube versus YouTube search.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, that's a really great use. There's so many content idea strategies using site searches. Maybe I'm too much of an SEO nerd, but I like looking at larger e-commerce sites and like what they're doing and how they're structuring their site. Or even like B2B sites that have like a solid or SEO strategy, just to see like what's new in SEO. Like are people using cornerstone pages and what's their URL structure like and all that stuff. So
yep,
it's super fun. Bonus, you can use this to find technical issues.
Yep. Yeah. We talked about like low quality pages from the content perspective, but what are some of the technical things that you might also find?
I quite often find old subdomains or existing and subdomains that they don't want indexed. So that might be like client galleries or what have people done? Sometimes I've seen people that have their blog on a subdomain and in a subfolder, and they're mirroring each other. That's great. SSL. So sometimes they'll have both HTTPS and HTTP indexed, or it's like they have www, but it's not redirecting, so their pages are indexed both ways.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think of any other technical issues I've found with
what about like the language issue? So a lot of times on the template pages or on pages that just, I don't know, some reason they have some Latin text or they're not translated properly if you're using multiple languages. Or I guess just if you have, I don't know how that would work on a multi-language site where if you have like a version in English and then let's say a version in Spanish. The Spanish pages would still show the translate this page because they can show up in the English Google search engine and the English ones can show up in the Spanish search engine. Google like tries to prioritize there. But anyway, the whole point is you can see this like translate this page message that will show up. And if you're seeing that because of Latin text, like on a template, then that's a really bad sign.
It's bad news. And you probably also don't want to see the like 50 results from this were hidden. Click here to show them.
Yes.
Like that's typically a bad sign.
Yeah, that usually means that Google's saying, because the full message says something like, we found other results that are similar to the ones we've already shown, but we've excluded them because basically they're saying there's other pages on the site that are kind of basically just the same thing we've already showed you, and that's they're not relevant anymore. So if you're seeing that, that means you need to clean it up.
Totally. Well, awesome. I think we've pretty much covered the site searches as well as we can on this podcast.
Why don't we talk really quick since we're so short? Yeah. This is a really short episode, but it's fine because I think it's very actionable. I think I want people to get out there and just experiment with this. Even on your phone, by the way, you can just site colon do it. It's any Google search. But real quick, why don't we combine it with another search operator just to see like what's a good example of something we would do there?
Yeah, so gosh, off the top of my head, you could do in title. Gosh, I'm trying to think about what other search.
Well, that's a good one. What would you do with in title?
Yeah, I would. If you're looking for title issues, or maybe just do your brand, or you can do a minus sign in title. And so you can say like, I want to see any title that does not include my brand.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe you're dealing with half of your old blog posts do not have it and you want to make sure that they do give you a list of blog posts to go update.
Yeah. I'm looking at some examples here and there's actually some cool modifiers here that will even show some of the things we've already talked about pretty quickly. Like for example, if you do site colon domain, and then minus in URL colon HTTPS. That will show you any HTTP pages that are indexed really quickly. So in URL, it's just INURL colon, like all together. And then again, no space after that for whatever thing you want to find in the URL.
That's amazing.
What else is there that would make sense here? I mean, mainly the keywords using quotes, in title, in URL. Those are the main ones that I use. But definitely just do a little experimenting with different operators because the operators really are pretty cool. Every time I look at them, I'm like, oh, I forgot you can do that.
I'm looking at a list of search operators. I'm going to add this to the blog or podcast notes, but it reminded me that the link operator used to exist and work, and it no longer does.
Interesting.
RIP.
I just found one. I've got to test this really quick just to see if it works. Okay. This sounds really cool. Okay, so you can apparently do a keyword, and then you can do site colon, and then just put .gov or .org.
Oh.
See if it works.
Interesting.
Yeah, so I put in wedding photography space site colon .gov, and it gave me all of these pages that are they're government websites that talk about wedding photography. It really is working. Amazing. That's really cool, actually.
Wow.
Yeah. So you could even do like .pdf, I would think.
Yeah.
And if you want to only find PDFs about wedding photography, that didn't work. But I'm sure that there is. I bet I could do in URL.
Oh, you can do file type. So you were trying to look up
File PDFs? Type? Yes.
Yeah.
Is that just all one word, file type, colon?
Let me look. Yes, it is.
Yeah, and then I put PDF. Yep, that's it. That's all these PDFs about wedding photography now.
Amazing.
So like,
wow, these are...
You can find some really cool
outreach
stuff.
Outreach opportunities.
Yeah, exactly. For if you're building backlinks, this site search is a really great way to narrow down specific places to reach out to.
Gosh, that's cool.
Let me see if I see any other ones while we're... I should have looked at this beforehand, but still. there's a lot of really cool stuff out there.
Yeah.
We'll link to this. I've got one article that I'm looking at right now that has a bunch of different examples. I think it's on the SEMrush blog, so that's cool. We'll link that in the show notes.
Perfect.
So yeah, moral of the story. Get familiar with site search. Practice it. Like, just go out and use it. Use it on your site. Use it on competitor sites. Practice with some search operators and see if you can query Google for more specific data to help you make more use of just a regular Google search for your keyword research, competitive analysis, backlink outreach, fixing your technical issues on your site, getting familiar with how to search Google and get it to return exactly what you're looking for is, I think, a key skill in SEO.
Right? Who knew? It's pretty powerful.
Yep.
Awesome. Well, I think this is a great episode. It's so actionable. We kept it to 26 minutes. I think you're right. I think this is a huge skill. It teaches you not only how other people might Google, but also just how Google thinks a little bit and how they're analyzing your content and ranking it and telling you, giving you signals to what's good and bad content through the results.
Yeah. Cool. Well, you can leave a comment on this episode if you'd like. Go to fuelyourphotos.com/podcast. This is episode 26. You can always start a conversation or join the conversations we're having every week in the Fuel Your Photos Facebook group. And of course, like I said earlier, if you want to take your SEO to the next level, and you know, this kind of stuff is really much easier when you have like a step-by-step checklist. Here's what you're looking for. Here's how you fix it. And if you're looking for that, we've got it in the course. You can find that on the website, fuelyourphotos.com. So yeah, we'd love to see you in one of those places, and I guess we'll see you on the next episode.
Sounds great. Take care, everybody.
Peace.
This podcast is brought to you by our very own SEO course. SEO can be difficult to learn and implement on your own, and troublesome to hire out. To fix this, we've created a course that walks you through the steps to optimize your own site from start to finish. Visit fuelyourphotos.com to learn more.